Roland was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. The deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day, so he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray.
Hello everyone, this is Bob Maine. You're listening to the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in. This is 30 Minutes of Podcasting Freedom. I typically keep these shows a little bit less than that, but I talk about one of my favorite passions, and that is the owning and the shooting and the practical use of firearms, specifically handguns, to defend ourselves. And if you're listening for the first time, thank you very much. I appreciate that. This is a practical show. I'm not a gunsmith. I'm not ex-law enforcement. I'm not ex-military or anything like that. I'm just a private citizen that believes strongly in my Second Amendment rights. And I'm doing this show a little bit differently than usual. Typically, I'm sitting in my office or I'm taking a drive somewhere. I'm actually at my mechanic's office right now. My car is getting worked on. I got a little bit of time to kill. I'm actually standing outside of his office. It's cool. It's crisp. But it's fun out here. And if you hear a little bit of background noise, you're hearing the cars go by on the street next to my mechanic. Anyway, I'll apologize for that in advance. What are we going to talk about today? Well, we're going to talk about a specific pistol. Every once in a while, I do gun reviews. And the only time I ever do a gun review is if I actually have a chance to shoot the pistol. And I recently had a chance to shoot one, and I'm going to talk about it. It's actually the Kimber Ultra CDP. It's a small 3-inch 1911. You've heard me talk so much about Glocks on this show. And, you know, even though you know I'm a big fan of Glocks and it's no big secret, I'll tell you what, there are some 1911s that I would own and that I would carry, and this is one of them. I'm really impressed with this gun. I went to a range and I rented one and I shot 150 rounds through it, and I tried as much different type of shooting as I could. I actually did some things I wasn't supposed to do at the range. Just don't tell anybody. I'll get into that when I talk about the gun. But it's the Kimber Ultra CDP. And let me tell you this. First of all, it's an expensive gun. So this might not be, just from a price standpoint, it might not be a gun that you could easily go out and own. It's over $1,000. But as I always say, how much is your life worth? Think about that. I would feel very confident carrying this pistol. I would have to train quite a bit with it because of the manual safety, the thumb safety on a 1911. I'm just not used to that. You know, I'm used to carrying pistols. All I have to do is just draw it out of the holster and worry about pulling the trigger and making sure that it goes bang. But let me tell you about the Kimber Ultra CDP 2. Before I get into that, I want to make a couple of announcements quickly. I don't get real commercial on these shows, but I got to talk about a couple of things. The website, www.handgunworld.com. Handgunworld.com. And we are also on iTunes at Handgun World Show. Just search it, and I want you to subscribe, please. If you like what you hear, you can get automatic downloads from iTunes, and you can also use an RSS reader and subscribe from the site. I'm also looking for sponsors, so if you'd like to sponsor the Handgun World Show, I've got over 150 daily listeners, or actually every time I post a show, it's about twice a week, and several thousand downloads already. So contact me directly if you're interested in doing a small ad on the show. Okay, that is it, pretty much. Let's dive right into the Kimber Ultra CDP. If you are new to handguns, you have probably heard the name Kimber, or let me introduce you to the name Kimber real quickly. They pretty much started several years ago changing the way that 1911s were built. They started taking what used to be on a custom gun and putting them into production guns. Now, they're kind of controversial today. If you read reviews on Kimber pistols, probably about half of the people you talk to are going to say they're junk, and the other half are going to say they're fantastic for the money. And short of going out and spending a couple thousand dollars on a customized pistol, I think this one in particular, the Kimber Ultra CDP, is worth the buy, and I'll tell you why. First of all, they put all the bells and whistles on this gun. Before I get into the bells and whistles, though, I want to talk about reliability. You know I'm a big fan of reliability. Just recently, I did that show, Reliability versus Accuracy, and I said I'll take reliability any day. Well, I still stand by that. This gun that I shot was a range gun. And I happen to know the owner of the range pretty well. And I also know when they put that on the rental counter, because I use this range quite a bit for practicing, and I'm pretty sure he was shooting straight with me when he told me when he put this on the rental counter. It had been out there over 2 years, and he said he's never sent it back to Kimber for service. And, you know, range guns get shot a lot, and they get abused a lot, and people are coming in there renting them all the time. I ran 150 rounds through this pistol with no problem, not one single malfunction. I mentioned in one of my other shows that some 1911s, if you buy a real good quality one and don't mess around with it, that they're pretty reliable. Well, this one is. Not a problem. And I ran actually 25 rounds of hollow points. Now, that's not a lot, but I wanted to see what it would do with hollow points. So I used 185 grain Corban hollow points. It was actually the 185 grain Corban DPX, my favorite round. It's the same type of ammunition that I use in my 9mm handguns. And by the way, the Kimber Ultra CDP, it does come in 9mm. The one I'm talking about that I shot is 45, but it also, I think a couple of years ago in 2007, 3 years ago at the SHOT Show, I think that's when they introduced this same gun in 9mm. And I got to tell you, that might not be a bad buy either for some of you who are looking for a really sweet shooting 9mm. I will say that with the Corban 185 grain DPX rounds, the defensive rounds, it has a lot of recoil. With the full metal jacket, I ran Winchester white box through it for the full metal jacket. Those weren't bad. The recoil wasn't bad. And this gun, for some reason, just seems to soak up the recoil. But boy, you put those Corban DPX in there, get ready, folks. You better train with this gun. You better know what you're doing. If you're a novice shooter, I would really not recommend this gun if you're a novice shooter, unless you really want to practice, and get proficient. But it ran those DPX rounds through there without a hiccup, and of course all of the rest of the FMJs I had for a total of 150 rounds. So I really cannot complain about the reliability. Let me tell you what I like about the gun, and I'll tell you what I don't like about it. We'll start with the positives. The positives is Kimber has done a very nice job on the front strap, the front part of the grip, with their checkering. Their checkering is outstanding. It really helps to get a good positive grip on the front strap of the gun. They've done a really good job with the feel of the gun. They've also done a real good job with what they call the carry melt treatment. If you look at it, it doesn't have any sharp edges on it, like a lot of 1911s do. Everything is all kind of melted. You'll see all the corners of the slides and everything melted. And that makes a big difference. It makes a big difference in and out of the holster, and it also makes a big difference when you're manipulating the gun. I also happen to think that they did a real good job with the grips. The stock grips are the rosewood checkered grips. If I owned this gun personally, I would leave those on there. I know somebody that has this gun that actually put the real slim Aluma grips on it to make it a slimmer gun. You know, these 1911s are slim anyway. It's a lot slimmer than carrying my Glocks. So for me, I would have no problem concealing this, and I would just leave those factory grips right on there. You know me, I'm not a big fan of tinkering with guns from their factory configuration, especially if it's something that I'm going to use for defensive purposes. And folks, this is not a target pistol. This is a little 3-inch barrel, 45, 1911 handgun. It's not a target gun. Now, I'm going to get into accuracy in a minute because it's very surprisingly accurate. But, again, I would just leave it alone. I'd leave those factory grips on there, so I think Kimber did a real nice job. I also like the sights on this gun. They are the three-dot sights, two dots in the back, one in the front, three-dot Meprolite sights. They are night sights. I kind of like the XS big-dot sights, as I've mentioned in previous shows. If I owned this gun, that's the only thing that I would change. I would take those sights off, and I'd put the big dots on there just because I'm so used to carrying and shooting those and practicing with those. I like to have In all my handguns, I like to have consistent sight picture. Assuming I'm going to use the sights. If you listen to my previous show, I talked about how oftentimes you're never even going to see the sights. But I'm assuming that I might at least see that big white front dot, so that's what I would change out. And that's the only modification I would make. Well, there is one more. The other thing that I would do is the Kimber magazines. Let's talk about some of the negatives. I don't like the Kimber magazines that come with this gun. Actually, the range had Wilson Combat magazines, and they gave me two of them, actually. So I used the Wilson Combat magazines. That's what I would use if I were you. I would get rid of the Kimber mags. It's a shame for a gun that's over $1,000 that you don't get terrific mags with it. So I'm going to go ahead and take a point away from Kimber on that one. Now, from a looks standpoint, the gun looks fabulous. I mean, it does. Now, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about the looks of their guns. You know, folks, I think a gun is a tool. Really, it's a tool. I mean, it's a self-defense tool. It's meant to save your life. Plain and simple. And I really don't give a hoot what a gun looks like. All right? My guns are not trying to win beauty contests. I'm trying to win the stay alive contest. But there are some people that like the looks of it. You know, there's an old saying, 1911s are what you show your friends, and Glocks are what you show your enemies. I had to throw that in there, folks, because I'm such a Glock fan. But I tell you what, all joking aside, I would show an enemy this 1911 as well. And I'd make sure that he's looking down the barrel of this 1911 if he's my enemy. But it looks fantastic. It's two-tone. It's got a brushed stainless steel slide, and the frame is a black aluminum frame. Now, it is an aluminum frame, folks. It's not a steel frame. The weight of the gun has to be held down because it's a concealed carry gun. And there's good and bad about that. It is an aluminum alloy frame. The good, it's nice and light. This thing's not much heavier than my Glock 19. Not too much. A little bit. I can handle the weight, though. If you have the right holster and the right belt, a few extra ounces is really not a big deal. And the gun is so thin and balanced so well, it carries well. The downside of an aluminum frame is it's not going to last as long. Typically, it's probably only going to last, I don't know, I guess if you do a lot of heavy shooting, what, 40, 50,000 rounds? I might get some argument on that. You know, I've seen Glocks that have shot 150,000 rounds. I mean, I haven't seen them, excuse me, but I have read reviews and things like that, and I've read torture tests from some pretty reliable sources about Glocks shooting 150,000 rounds with just some regular maintenance on them. But, you know, are you really going to run 50,000 rounds through your concealed carry gun? So, I would say if you own this gun and you give it a 1,000-round trigger job, you've heard me talk about the 1,000-round trigger job, and you feel confident with it, and if you can shoot 250 rounds of your favorite carry ammunition through it, in my case, if I owned it, it would be that Corban DPX. If it shoots those 250 rounds plus another 750 of FMJ and doesn't give you any problems, leave it alone. Practice with it quite a bit. When I say quite a bit, you know, make sure you're running 100,000 rounds a month through it, 1,200 rounds a year. It would take you a long time to wear out that gun. I would not say this is a gun that you're going to go take a two-day, 1,000-round combat pistol training course with. You might want to get a different gun for that. And especially if you're going to be doing that over and over and over again. One of the negatives about these little 3-inch 1911s is you have to change the recoil springs a lot. And a lot of people knock these little 3-inch 1911s. They knock them for reliability. They say that the whole gun, the whole cycle time is too quick. And sometimes you have feeding problems with them because it's such a short barrel. And it's a 45 ACP. And then some people knock the ballistics of it. Some people say you can't get good enough velocity to make that bullet do what it's supposed to do out of a 3-inch barrel. Let me tell you something, folks. Let me poke a hole in that. Okay? That 185-grain DPX round coming out of that 3-inch barrel, it's going to make the bad guy have a bad day. And even if it doesn't expand, all right, let me say something that a lot of 45 shooters are going to like. A 9mm might expand, but a 45 is never going to shrink. So even if that 45 round does not expand, coming out of that little 3-inch barrel, I'll give all the detractors their due on that. it's still going to put a hurt on somebody. That 185 grain all copper bullet, especially with that round, it's probably going to make them have a bad day. So, would I feel comfortable with this gun? Yeah, as long as it was reliable. And like I said, this one, for the 150 rounds that I shot, was perfectly reliable. I would not, in any way, shape, or form, feel undergunned with this. I'd have to get used to learning to depress that safety. Now, I'll admit, I used to shoot a lot of 1911s. If you train properly, that depressing of the thumb safety becomes very, very natural. So, I could probably end up getting used to it. Now, let's talk about accuracy. This thing is scary accurate. I mean, I was surprised. I was very surprised. At 7 yards, it was doing very well, and I thought, well, okay, it's 7 yards. Let's see what this thing can do. So, I ran the target out to 15 yards, and I was more accurate with it than my Glock 19 at 15 yards. And that's saying a lot, because I've shot thousands and thousands of rounds, and I've trained over and over and over again with my Glock 19. So for me, that's saying a lot. Then I ran the target out to 20 yards, and I was surprised. Not having shot the gun very much, I was getting less than 4-inch groups at 20 yards. Now, this gun is better at that. It's much more capable than 4-inch groups. Much more capable than 4-inch groups at 20 yards. But, again, you got to remember, this was an unfamiliar gun for me, and I was still able to do that. So I was quite impressed. The gun is more than accurate. I was more impressed with the gun than I was with my shooting. Okay, folks, sorry about the brief pause there. I'm actually back in my car now. Mechanic just got it finished up, brought it out to me, and so now I'm on the way home. And so then I don't have to stand out there so much in the wind, and you probably won't hear so much background noise. Anyway, as I was saying, the gun is a lot more accurate than me, and I was more impressed with its inherent accuracy than I was with my shooting. And so, therefore, I'm going to give it a thumbs up on that at 20 yards. I never got a chance to run the target out to 25 yards. I ran out of ammo. That's the problem. And speaking of ammo, you know, I'll tell you, if I had to shoot 45s a lot, I'd have to get into reloading. I don't reload, and I should. You know, shame on me, I guess. I don't reload. I could not afford the price of 45 ammo shooting as much as I do. That stuff is expensive. Man, I just can't believe it. So anyway, I ran out of ammo, didn't feel like buying another one. I figured 150 rounds was pretty much enough for me to be able to do this review. And so continuing on, a few other things I really like about this pistol. It does not use a bushing. It is a bull barrel. And, if I was going to own a 1911, I like these style with the bull barrels. Typically, you see them on the 3-inch and the 4-inch guns. The 5-inch 1911s have bushing. What I like about it is that I just like that nice, thick barrel. To me, that's appealing to me. It's thicker than a conventional barrel. Especially, boy, if you buy this gun in the 9mm format. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, well, why would you want to buy a 1911 in 9mm? 1911 wasn't designed for the 9mm. That's right. It wasn't. But I tell you what. A gun of this quality, and again, some of you might argue, some of you might, you know, send me an email and tell me that Kimbers are junk. This particular one, I don't think is junk. In 9mm, that barrel's real thick. So, to me, that just kind of breeds more accuracy, more inherent accuracy, if you ask me. Now, in the hands of a bad shooter, I've mentioned this many times, I don't care how inherently accurate that the gun is, you're not going to be able to hit anything with it if you don't practice good shooting form and stance and grip and sight alignment and picture and things like that. But complete thumbs up on the accuracy. Now, what's thumbs down about the pistol? Well, it's got a small grip. That's a thumbs up if you're concealing it. I'll give you that. The small grips are great if you're trying to conceal them. But shooting it, my hands, I guess you would call them medium width. You know, but I can see folks with large hands having a real problem with this gun. And because of the recoil, especially if you're shooting really high-powered, hot-loaded, you know, Corban or Federal Hydra Shock or Spear Gold Dot, if you're shooting some of the premium defense ammunition, this thing's going to snap on you. So you're going to have to make sure you've really got a good grip. And this is one of the things I'd be kind of concerned with in a combat situation. If you cannot get a firm grip, if your assailant for some reason is preventing you from getting a real firm grip on your pistol, you got two problems that come into play. Number one, you might not depress the grip safety, and therefore the gun won't fire at all, or you might not get a real solid grip on this gun, and during the recoil, it's gonna, if you don't hit with your first shot, it might make it a little difficult to get subsequent shots off. It might make it a little bit tougher for you to be accurate with this. So as a downside to everything, it is small. It's small and it's short. Some people like the Pro CDP, which is the 4-inch gun, and it has a full-size 1911 grip, but it's a 4-inch barrel, so it gives you a little bit shorter barrel length. That is probably, I would say, the only major glaring negative I can think of this pistol. It just feels so wonderful in the hand if you can get a good grip on it. Now, speaking of the grip, I mentioned the checkering earlier. Let me also say that the way Kimber does the extended thumb safety really makes it nice and comfortable and natural feeling for you to depress that safety, and then your thumb is right there in a perfect position, pretty much where your strong hand thumb should be when you're shooting a pistol anyway. The trigger on this gun is fabulous. I mean, most 1911 triggers are great, but this thing is smooth. I mean, Kimber has done a nice job. I think their website says 3.5 to 4.5 pound trigger. I think that's what it says. It's a custom shop gun, which means supposedly when they make it, they take a little bit more extra time refining this gun. It is probably more like 3.5. Now, the one I shot was a range gun. You have to remember, it's had a lot of rounds put through it. So like any other gun, that trigger's going to loosen up quite a bit. This baby was smooth. I mean, you know, this reminded me of the excellent single-action triggers that 1911s have. This reminded me probably of the greatest strength of the 1911-style pistol, and that is the buttery, smooth, wonderful single-action trigger, especially one like this that's been broken in well. So, big thumbs up on that. Okay, two more things I want to talk about this pistol, and then I'm going to wrap this up. Recoil. Surprisingly enough, even though I mentioned earlier in the show, it's a stout recoil. It's a stout recoil because 45 ACPs, especially hot-loaded ones, recoil fairly significantly anyway. I mean, a lot more. If you're used to shooting 9mm like me, if you're used to shooting powder puff loads that I use for IDPA, for example, again, I don't reload, but I go out and I buy practice ammunition, 9mm practice ammunition. Comparing that to the 45 carry ammunition, the hot-loaded hollow points, major difference. But this Kimber Ultra CDP, it just, for some reason, it just didn't recoil that bad on me. I mean, I expected a lot more. Again, I mentioned it's not for the novice shooter. You're going to be surprised if you've never shot a handgun before and you shoot this. But once you practice with it and once you get used to it, I guess it's probably because of the nice grip on it, the checkering in the front strap that help you get a firm grip, the nice wood grips on it that also help you get a firm grip, and just the fact that it's contoured nicely and just it's a great angle. It forces the recoil to go straight back into your hand rather than flip up. And even though the bore axis is not as low as shooting a Glock pistol, and I still like that low bore axis, Kimber's just done such a nice job refining this gun. And I tell you what, you know, recoil is a subjective thing. Some people handle it better than others. It's been said by a lot of trainers, combat trainers, that in a stressful situation, when your adrenaline is running sky high and you're in a self-defense situation, that you never even notice the recoil. That you do get an incredibly strong grip on the gun. Some people actually grip it too much. They get a death grip on the gun. It's hard to shoot a gun when you have a death grip on it. But you're probably not going to notice the recoil, and you're probably not going to notice the sights. You're just going to be worried about getting that thing out of your holster and making sure it goes bang and putting the bad guy down. But I will say, when I transferred over to the Full Metal Jacket rounds for practice, it was pretty manageable for me. Now, the last point that I want to make about this pistol, which is a pretty important one, because it's got a relatively short barrel and short slide, this thing is quick to draw out of the holster. Now, I did a couple things I wasn't supposed to do at this range. I happen to know the range officer very, very well, and there wasn't anybody within about three lanes of me. And I drew it a couple of times from my... I think I did it three times. Yeah, I drew it three times from my holster. And actually, it fit in the same holster that my Glock 19 fit into. It fit into a nice soft leather holster that I use by High Noon Holsters. So that was kind of nice, too, the fact that it fit into my Glock 19 holster. But boy, it comes out of there fast. It is a quick draw. And that is one very, very important concept. I've talked about that before. If you can deploy that gun quickly, that is a huge advantage in a gunfight, in my opinion. So I'll give it high marks for that. So that pretty much is my review on the Kimber Ultra CDP. A couple of things that I want to clear up before I wrap this show up, and that is, yeah, it's an expensive gun. Save your money. I think it's worth the price that you pay for this. Some of Kimber's other small 1911s, I'm not quite so sure if I would spend the $750 or $800 on some of their other ones. You know, for the extra $300, you can graduate up to the Ultra CDP. And if I was going to carry a small 3-inch sized 1911, wanting to maximize my reliability, and a gun that I feel that I could be real confident with, this is the one I would choose. I would save my money. I would scratch and scrimp and save and do everything I can till I could save to buy this pistol, because that's how impressed I was with it. And that's coming, as you guys have figured out by listening to this show, that's coming from a Glock shooter. And somebody who likes the stone cold reliability of the Glocks, I would be very, very confident. Again, I'd have to train so that I could depress that safety and make sure that in my mind I could do it without even thinking. And that might be a tough transition for a guy like me. But for you 1911 shooters out there that have lots of practice with it, you're not going to have any problem with the Kimber Ultra CDP. So, if you get one or you rent one, go rent one, by the way, folks, and shoot one and tell me what you think and tell me how you think my review stacks up to your own review when you go rent one and shoot one. But if you get that gun, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. So if a few of you buy some Kimber Ultra CDPs after hearing this review, let me know so I can email Kimber and ask him to send me my commission check. Fat chance, right? Anyway, thanks, folks, for listening to this episode of the Handgun World Show. My name is Bob Main. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time. The fight.
In Ireland, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Berkeley.